Good morning, everyone. I'm Brian. Today is Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022. And this is episode 132 of the Lots Project podcast. And it is titled Making the Most of Your Animal Feed. And I'll probably be taking this at a different angle than other people that are talking about fermenting and this and that. And I'm going to talk about the other end of life when you process your animals, when you do the deed and turn them into meat, some ways to get the most out of them by using all the parts, by doing some different things. So that's today's topic. Just 2 seconds here. Check over on Telegram. I started a video and it won't let me join it. There it is. Good to go. Just want to make sure there, guys. I think I'm pretty solid on that. That's working every day, so happy about that. What else we got? Comfrey on sale, the box of Comfrey and the business in a box still on the website. Head on over there, pick one up, and get yourself started in a new side hustle that definitely could pay itself back in about one season. So go check that out and become a lifetime member of the Lots Project, quote unquote membership program, lifetime membership. I don't even know what it's going to turn into. So you're getting in on the ground floor, and it's only going up from here. So definitely check that out. Links are in the show notes for that, or you can go to thelotsproject.com/shop, and you should be able to find it pretty easily. Item of the week this week is the JB Weld Clear Weld. I have not had an opportunity to get out and double check that second crack I fixed in the weed eater motor. The weed eater gas tank. The first one fixed and held, and it was. I got a call Monday night, and last night I was taking care of Corey. She's not feeling so well, so trying to help out and take care of the dogs and do everything that she does on every evening basis, so she could get some rest. And it might have worked. She said she's feeling a little bit better this morning. Still not all the way there, but a little bit under the weather. I don't know. Traveling or who knows, being at the festival, you run into a lot of people, and you never know, just new germs, new stuff. So hopefully she's on the mend, and we can get back to normal around here. But with that, let's get on to the topic of the day today: making the most of your animal feed by making the most of your animals. It's kind of what I was thinking, thinking yesterday what I want to talk about, and listening to a couple different podcasts. They were talking about feed prices and inflation and all sorts of stuff. And I was like, well, we always tried to, even when feed prices weren't high, we tried to get the most out of our animals just to bring the cost of what we ate down. So if we could sell all the parts that we didn't eat and sell some of our excess animals, we could pretty much get close to eating for free, or actually making a little bit of money on it. So it was very important to make sure we got the most out of everything that we could harvest from the animal. And that was also a respect thing. If I'm going to take an animal's life, I want to make sure I honor it by using everything that I can out of that animal. And so we found some creative ways and some different ways to make sure we did that as much as we could. And then, as always, like anything that we couldn't use went right in the compost pile, so that fed the garden and it fed the plants. So, it got used. So we're going to run through the animals that we used here. I don't know much about pigs or goats or sheep or cattle, whatever other large animals. We only did chickens, turkeys, quail, and rabbits. So I can speak to those, and that's kind of what I'm going to cover today. And from what I understand, poultry prices are through the roof. So this might help you out. So. All right, where do we want to start? Let's see. Rabbits. Rabbits were easy one to find extra products for. The main theme here is between stuff that we consume and ways to do that. But I sold heavily into the raw pet food market. So that was an easy market to get into because there was less regulations, there was less oversight, and there aren't a lot of suppliers. Around here, you have two or three major pre-processed raw food delivery services or pickup services where you get ground mixes and stuff like that. It's not usually whole call. It's not a whole prey. It's basically whatever you wanted ground up into a tube, just like hamburger. And it's got a mix of whatever products in it, whether it be turkey or beef or whatnot. And then, you buy it by the tube and you weigh it out. But a lot of the people I sold to were interested in doing whole prey model, which is basically the culled animal, the whole thing, the guts, the fur, the feathers, whatever it had, it is in it. If it was in its natural state and you killed it, and you either can freeze it or do it fresh. But throw that to them and they consume the whole thing. So that was the case for a lot of dog owners. A few of my clients were cat owners, and then snake and reptile owners like the whole call, because a lot of times the animals won't eat processed stuff. Like a predator snake will not eat a ground quail, but if you put a quail that looks like it's still alive in their enclosure, it will strike it, eat it, even though it's dead. So I had a lot of customers that wanted to do that, and I was willing to get them the size they wanted and however they wanted them processed. So that was a good market to get into. So a lot of my stuff went into that market. Look into it. The way you find that, you can go on Craigslist and look for people looking for raw food. You can put an ad up what you have. A lot of the parts and stuff that we'll talk about, you can sell into that market. But yeah, definitely look for those customers. They're great. And once they find you, man, you're like gold to them, and they will share you with trusted people in their community and send them to you to buy other food, or buy their own raw products. So definitely foster those relationships. It's a tight-knit community. It's a smaller community. They get attacked a lot. So if you're in like the freedom community, you kind of understand where they're at. They live in a different norm than most pet owners, and most vets don't want to deal with it or don't approve of it or understand it. Just kind of like, yeah, it's a very similar road. So I think that's why I got along a lot with a lot of those people. So, but anyway, rabbits, when you call your rabbit, so if you're going to process it for human consumption, you're going to cut the head off, save it. Freeze it. I sold them as dog treats, whole heads, frozen, just four in a gallon Ziploc bag, 50 cents a piece, quarter piece, dollar piece, whatever you can get for them. But they are great dog treats, especially mid to large size dogs love chomping on them. They get all the fat in the brain and bone and everything. It's great. They love them. Corey used to take a batch with her when she would go dog sledding up in northern Minnesota in February, March with her mom. They would take a couple bags for the dog sled dogs, and they absolutely loved them. The sled teams or the mushers used to love it when they came up and brought the treats. So definitely rabbits' heads, you definitely have an outlet for those. The ears I've actually seen, I never did this. I always left them with the heads, but you can cut the ears off and dehydrate them, and they make great dog chews, a little longer lasting dog quote unquote toy or chew. So the ears, you can take them off and dehydrate them. Let's see, hearts. I love the hearts, but you can sell them, I guess. But I would definitely eat the hearts. Don't throw that out. They are fantastic. And the liver, rabbit livers are probably the best liver I've had. Had pork and beef, and I don't think we found a quail liver, but the rabbit livers were definitely the best. They had the best taste. Unseasoned and texture, and they were the right size. And yeah, so definitely check out the rabbit liver, give them a try. Be sure you take the gallbladder off. The gallbladder in a rabbit is not quite as bad or fragile as a chicken. They will pop and spoil your liver, but on the rabbit they are like little hard balls, and you can just grab them, pull them off, and have no problem. Hey, good morning, K-Bonk. How's it going this morning? That's rabbit liver. The furs, we had all intentions of doing meat rabbits for meat and fur. The culls are too young. The furs are too thin. We tried it. It was a lot of work. It could probably be done, but the furs aren't going to bring a premium price. And for the work and the time and effort that goes into tanning them, we didn't find it was worth it. We composted them. So we composted them with the remainder of the internals. We used to, and then the whole rabbit. And learning how to break down a rabbit and anything, really, chicken, turkey, rabbit, taking that whole animal and being able to break it down, I found it helps you consume more of the animal. So if you break it down into parts and you're cooking it separately, doing different things with different meals, you are able to portion better. And you're not cooking a whole rabbit and only eating like half or three quarters of it. And then the rest, well, what are we going to do with it? Do you want to pick it off the bone? But if you broke it down into like legs and loins and stuff like that, it's easier to cook. It's easier to consume the whole thing. And so I have video in the show notes, a link to a video in the show notes that is how to break down a whole rabbit. So we go from a culled rabbit, chilled, ready to cook, and we break it down into the parts that we did. That's one way to do it. We liked that. It was a great portions for us. It broke down into, I think, two legs, two belly flaps, the front legs, the tenderloins, and the carcass, I think. Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure. I didn't go back and watch the video today, and it's been a couple years since I've done one. But it's pretty simple, straightforward. So check out that video. So that's rabbits. Oh, the feet. When you cut off... K-Bonk. K-Bonk's got an off-topic question. What is your go-to for fleas? I don't know. I don't have a problem with them. I wish I could tell you. We use Frontline for ticks. Do that monthly. Don't know if that takes care of fleas also, but we haven't run into the issue. So knock on wood that continues. Not with the dogs, not with the animals. We never really ran into problems with fleas or mites or anything with the chickens. So I don't know. We've gotten lucky. So we will see. We will see. Maybe the front line is protecting them, but I don't know. I think they might die off quite a bit here in Minnesota because it's so cold. That might be a thing. I don't know. But we have not experienced fleas too much. So you're going to have to find somewhere else, K-Bonk. I apologize for that. But back to the rabbit. The feet, there are four of them. You cut them off. You throw them in the... You throw them in the compost. No, you save them. You save them and you make rabbit foot keychains out of the back ones. And we ended up making cat toys out of the front ones. So you can take those feet, process them up and sell them as keychains or cat toys. I have a video link in the show notes for our video on how to make a rabbit foot keychain. It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty easy. We sold a ton of them. Sell them on Etsy, sell them on Craigslist, sell them on your website, wherever. But definitely... That was, I think we charged $5. I think all in our costs were like 30 cents. So you're making, let's say $4.50. Even if you make $4.50 a foot, that's $9 for the back feet. And then the front feet, we sold like three for $5, I think. So, you know, you get another $5. You're looking at $12 to $15 per rabbit that you're getting off the feet. So what's your feed bill into that rabbit? And I don't know prices right now, but you're covering a significant portion of what you're spending in feed just to sell the feet and not throw them away. So there you go. Feet on the rabbit. You got the heads, the feet, the liver and hearts. Eat them up. They're so good. Possibly cut the ears off, dehydrate them for treats. Furs of the older does. When your older calls, yes, they are probably worth it. That's still a thing with the rabbit foot keychain feet. Yeah, the ones we sold, man, we sold these and people would get them and they were blown away. The quality of them, they were used to like the 1980s book fair when you went to the school and got them in the book fair, and they were tiny little cheap things and died. Ours were all natural. We had really cool, colorful rabbits. So we had really cool patterns and different colors. And yeah, people were super happy with them. So yeah, we just sold them, kept selling them, got great reviews. And so they were great. Yeah, so that, and oh, the manure. I mean, getting the most out of your animal, rabbit manure, chicken manure, making compost, all of that. So definitely there. So that's rabbit. Quail is kind of about down the same line. The heads, I sold those as treats. I think I sold them for a dime a piece frozen to cat owners. They loved them. The cats love these things. They were like little little things you chomped on. And yeah, they were great. They were great. So definitely those were just a snip of a scissors and right into a bucket and then into Ziploc bags and right to my raw food customers. So quail heads. And then the birds, I did whole prey model calls for reptile and cat and dog owners, where I euthanized them using gas chamber that I built. But they looked whole. They looked like a live bird, and the animals loved them. So yeah, that's a way to sell those to get the most out of them. I didn't ever try selling them, but I was looking into selling the Quaternix quail feathers on Etsy. There were listings for them. They seemed to be selling decent. I had some in a bag, and I just never got to it. I never had the time or wanted to do the listing or figure out how to ship them or price them or all that. But there is a market for that. Then the eggs. I mean, obviously, you got something that's laying eggs. You're going to eat the eggs or sell the excess eggs, but also hatch those eggs and sell chicks. Sell day-old chicks. And this is going to hold true for chickens also. If you sell day-old chicks and you have them pre-sold and pre-ordered, you never feed them. So the only cost you have into those chicks is how many eggs you can jam in your incubator and how many you get divided by how much energy that incubator used. And then those chicks, if you can cover your feed for your layers and then hatch the chicks and not feed them anything, it's almost like pure profit for those chicks. So the electricity bill for the incubator, but I was incubating, hundreds of quail at a time. So the amount of energy that incubator took divided by 100 is just pennies. So you're selling baby quail. And getting, I don't know, I can't even remember what I was selling them for at this point. The price went up, but I actually worked myself out of the market because I sold to everybody local. And then the next season, I saw everyone that I had sold to was already selling chicks. So they figured it out real quick, and I moved on to something else. But yeah, I hit it and quit it on that one. But getting your market, I did have a lot of customers that came back to me looking for them after I got out of it, that were repeat customers that didn't want to house them all year. They were doing almost like meat chickens. So they were repeat customers ordering chicks to grow out and put in the freezer. So there is that market too. So you definitely, if you find those and you're continuing to incubate your quail or your chicken, yeah, those are great customers. But so for quail, make sure you hit that pet food market up, save the heads. The hearts from the quail, they were all mine. They did not go anywhere. Well, Corey would fight me for them, but they were little like bites of steak. They were so fantastic. A whole batch. I loved quail processing day. Came in that night with a whole batch of little quail hearts. They're little tiny things. And yeah, just saute them up in some butter and garlic and onions, and man, they were just like, yeah. If you haven't had a chance, definitely try to find somebody that's raising quail and ask them for some hearts. I don't know if they'll give them to you. They might sell them to you at a premium, but yeah, they are fantastic. If they have tried them, if they haven't tried them, don't tell them how good they are. Tell them you want to use them for something else, because once they try them, I don't think you'll get them away from them. The feathers, Etsy feathers, quail feathers. I don't know. I never tried it, but I did look into it just a little bit, and there is a market out there for it. And if you have different types of chickens, that's another thing that I never went down that road, but I did see that they do pull a decent price for chicken feathers. So Hearts and Pasta. That sounds fantastic, hey Bonk. That just sounds like it's almost like pasta and meat sauce, but doing it with like a garlic butter sauce. Oh man, I might have to start up quail just for that. But moving on to the other poultry, the chicken and the turkey. Everybody knows how to get the most out of chicken, but let's say you get whole chicken, you get it at a better price, or you do it yourself and you do your own meat birds and you have whole birds. Learn how to break the chicken down. It's easy. It takes like 3 minutes on YouTube University to find a decent video. I suggest one. I don't have a link for it in the show notes, but our one that really hit home. Actually, there were two. It was Joel Salatin and his son, Daniel. Joel did one at Homesteaders of America conference or a Mother Earth News Fair. I don't know. He was on stage. He did like the whole processing walkthrough. They videoed it. And then there was another one that Daniel did from a farm tour at Polyface where he was doing them in their processing facility, and they videotaped it. It was fantastic. So definitely try to find those on YouTube. Pretty quick. Daniel Salatin chicken processing, or Joel Salatin chicken processing. It should come up. You should find them there. They're both quality videos, and they really show you how to do it right and give you a lot of information besides how to actually physically cut them up. But learn how to break your animals down, and they're easier to cook. You can cook them different. You waste less. Definitely use your bones up. When you get your bones from your chicken, your turkey, whatever, make bone broth. Save them in a bag in the freezer and freeze them. And when the bag gets full, make up a batch of bone broth in the crock pot or the Instapot or however you do that. So definitely use the bones. And then the feet, chicken heads, chicken hearts, chicken livers. The feet and the heads always went to my raw food customers. They gobbled them up. They love them, especially being high-end birds, high-end meat birds. With premium feed on pasture, everything, not standing in their own poo all the time. The raw dog food people love them. You can also, I've never did it, but you can make bone broth, or get the collagen out of the feet for different things. We never did that. I was always sold out. They love the heads. They love the feet. So definitely, if you are raising any animals on your farm and you're looking for an outlet for stuff instead of dumping it in the compost pile or wondering where to get rid of it, definitely look into that raw dog food market. So roast the bones for stock or broth. I've seen it done both ways. Ours were just mostly right into the Instapot and do it that way. The easier the better. So I've seen it done both ways, K-Bonk. I've seen write-ups with both roasting them and not, and I don't know the answer to that, but so use the bones for bone broth, the feet, the heads to the raw dog food market. Hearts and livers, they're great again. And eat those livers up. They are fantastic for you. They have so much nutrients, so much minerals. They're really good. They're really good. Be careful of the gallbladder on the chicken livers, though. It is very fragile, and you break it, I don't know, you can wash it off real quick, but I usually just ended up composting the ones that I messed up like that. But let's see, what else? Like the rest of the guts and everything, they ended up going to the compost pile, which in turn came back to us in nutrient for our soil and our plants. We sold culls and older layers. So we would sell culls a couple different ways. We had a customer that liked to buy the old fatty hens that were done laying. She made some sort of medicine or something out of the fat from them. And since they were so fatty, she really liked them. So all we did was have to bleed them out and freeze them. And she bought all of them. We didn't have to do anything else. She did the rest. And so we had an outlet for those. But when we would cycle through, so we were always cycling through our layers, trying to get maximum production. So we were getting rid of layers that still had plenty of life in them, plenty of eggs left. And I sold them. I sold them, and that helped offset the feed cost of what they consumed while they were laying. You had the egg sales. That's another thing. Look into selling hatching eggs. If you're going to raise chickens for eggs, and you get and you can have a rooster, you're not in an HOA or someplace where you can't have a rooster, consider getting one breed of chickens. So all Rhode Island Reds, all Barred Rock, all Black Copper Morans, and get a rooster and sell hatching eggs. Now, there's all sorts of NPIP and all this other crap that you can jump through. All right, man. K-Bong, have a great day. Thanks for stopping in. Enjoyed having you here. So there's all sorts of things that you have to jump through and everything. But if you're selling locally, just do it. If somebody wants to buy hatching eggs from you, let them buy hatching eggs from you. But get that purebred, sell those hatching eggs at a premium. If you don't sell them in the first week and their fertility goes down, you're still selling them as the eating eggs you planned on selling anyway. And if anybody runs into any problems, they shut you down for running hatching eggs, then just start selling eating eggs that might be fertile. So there is that. I always, once I realized that I could sell the hatching eggs at a premium, and then if I don't sell them, I could still eat them or sell them as eating eggs. That was a no-brainer. That covered so much of the food costs. But anyway, when those layers would peel off and we were done using their production, I would sell them off. I would sell them off at a discount. Adult layers already laying, and get a decent amount out of them. And people bought them so fast, like Craigslist ad, and they were instantly gone. And people would come pick them up and thank you up and down for selling them chickens that I was either going to have to call or feed for less production anyway. So definitely helps get the money out of that feed bill. And let me see. Day old chicks with the same thing with the quail and the chicken hatching the eggs and having those pre-sold and selling them without feeding them anything. That's just a way to do it. And let's see. Turkeys were the same as chickens. And I think I covered my list here. Think of different ways to get everything out of your animal. Feed costs are going up. Think of ways to compensate for that. So the chicken produces eggs, the quail produces eggs. Make sure that you're pricing your eggs to cover your feed costs. Definitely break down what you have going into the animal so you know what you got to get coming out of the animal. But look for different alternative ways to make money off it just to cover your cost and make it more lucrative for you to be raising these animals or making the cost of your food cheaper, even though the cost of your food is going up. And there's other roads you can go down as far as supplementing with fodder and this and that. But this was more an episode about getting the most out of the actual animal when you're breaking it down or while it's still alive, I guess. So question of the day over at the chat. Let's do what parts of the animals do you use that most people throw away? Are there things that people think you're crazy for doing? People thought we were weird for eating hearts and stuff like that. So is there anything else? Maybe you don't eat it. Maybe you use it for something else. But anything different? Head on over to the Lots Project chat on Telegram. That's t.me/lotschat. t.me/lotschat. And that question will be pinned here in a little bit. A couple of quick things before I wrap up. Today on TSP is a very special day. That's the Survival Podcast, if you don't know what it is. TSP, Jack Spierko, kind of guy that set me and a lot of other people in this space on their journey. My friend Josh at Liberty Meat Solutions, he was on the show a few weeks back on Saturday interview. He's on the after party with me. He's on Telegram. He's all over the place. He's doing awesome things, and he gets to be on Jack's show today. So definitely check out TSP today. If you can do it live, I believe it's at noon central. If you're listening to this afternoon central, download it and listen to it. Check out Josh on Liberty Meat Solutions and on the Survival Podcast today. Excuse me. Definitely check that out. They're going to talk about decentralized meat processing. And I'm sure they're going to talk about his seasoning project and all sorts of stuff. So should be a great interview. Check it out. Josh is a great guy. Help support him. He's a great member of our community. Besides that, I got a referral code for Fountain. If you haven't tried Fountain yet and you've been considering it, or I don't know why you haven't been considering it, you should, because it's a great platform. They've made some upgrades. They've made some changes, and there's a little bit more benefits going over there. But I do have a referral code now that is in the show notes. It's down there. Click on that. Redeem that code. That helps me out. When people stream me sats for my show, I get a little bonus. So definitely check out that referral code and head on over there. Get away from that Apple Podcast. Get away from Spotify. Use something that's blockchain-based, and you can tip your creators and give a value-for-value exchange for all the hard work they put in. I appreciate it, guys. Hey, could you head over to thelotsproject.com and under Connect, hit that newsletter button, throw your email in there, sign up for the newsletter. Got a little less than a week for the next newsletter to come out. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see what's going into it. I am working on it. I got a little less than a week here to figure it out and get it out. Hey guys, it's Wednesday. It's hump day. Get out there. Make it a great day. I've had fun this morning. I got to take off and get to work. You can always find me at thelotsproject.com. Float, Twitch, Telegram, YouTube, Odyssey, Rumble, Gab, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Fountain.fm, or any other podcast 2.0 value for value exchange. Been a great day this morning. It's been a great day, guys. The weather is gorgeous out here. The heat has broken. I'm going to go get to work, get my day done so I can get back here and do a bunch of other stuff and get ready to get out of Minnesota. Guys, have a great day, and I will catch up with you tomorrow.